Thanks, Pastor, for the prayer. And I pray that God would use me effectively in the way that He wishes. Amen.
Amen.
As you all know, my name is Selom. And today I'm here to talk to you about money, like Pastor said. It's not a subject that we often talk about in church and in our communities. But it's really important. Money can bring people together, and it can also take people apart. I think my wife and I were talking the other day, and it turns out that it's possible that there are actually couples who don't talk about money. They live together, they spend years together, but they don't talk about money.
I'm just going to correct this.
Yeah, please. Okay. Yeah, so as I was saying, there are couples who could spend years together but don't talk about money. Couples who don't know even how much each other brings home. That is a problem. If we fail to plan, we plan to fail. So it's really important that we work individually but also together to plan for the financial future that we would desire for each other. So today, my aim is to help us to address some of those very difficult and uncomfortable subjects about money and to present a framework within which each one of you can plot your own way to financial freedom. Before I begin, I am just a humble servant like everybody. I do not have a financial background. I have no qualifications in finance. Everything I'm going to share with you here is just information that I have gathered on my personal journey with myself and my wife. I just felt it's important to share this because a lot of the time we wait till we get to the end of our journey before we try to impart this knowledge. And you find out that a lot of that knowledge gets lost within our community. But as young and upcoming individuals, I think it's important that we drag people, not drag, but we bring people along the journey with us and share the successes, but also importantly share the failures, the mistakes we make, so that the next generation does not repeat the mistake and keep us in this never-ending loop of, I guess, effectively poverty. So to begin with, the first part is to say that we need to be very honest about the corrupting power of money. Money has the ability to corrupt the heart and the soul. So it's important that whilst we embark on this journey, we have to protect our hearts. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money." There is no benefit to embark on a journey to financial success only to corrupt your soul and to lose your soul at the end of it. It's a pointless journey. So we need to bring God with us on that journey and let God be the center of that journey. Deuteronomy 28:12 also says, "The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty. He will bless us from season to season. You will lend to many, but you will borrow from none." So that, again, combined with the previous verse, tells us that God has given us a clear instruction that it's important to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given unto us. We require the grace and the guidance of God to embark on this journey, so that our hearts are protected against the corrupting power of money, and we use the gifts that God gives us for His grace and not for personal benefit. The presentation will be in four sections. The first section will be mindset transformation. The second section will be focused on building a financial strong foundation. The third would be on the preservation of, and then the third would be growth, and the fourth would be the preservation of the wealth. So the next slide, please. So I can't see it over there, so I will be doing this a little bit. Yeah, I thought I could see it over there. But, okay, so I've got a number of headlines up on the screen. I'm sure a number of you have seen these headlines over. Oh, that'd be, thank you. A number of us would have seen these headlines over the past. My question to you is, when you saw any of these or heard any of these on the news, did it make you pause? Did it make you want to think about doing anything differently? Did you think, how does this affect me and how can I restructure my life? Or did we just okay, there's another market crash, there's another war, there's another interest rate change. I'm going to go out with my life. But unfortunately, these things don't occur in isolation. They impact us on a daily basis. Interest rates affect mortgages. They affect the rent that you pay. Interest rates affect your business, your employer. If your employer can't afford his business rate, he's going to have to reduce the size of his workforce, and you could end up without a job. Oil prices affect the price of food on the shelves. They are directly correlated with transportation, so it's really important to watch what happens on oil prices. The price of gold is a very good indicator of which direction markets are going. Are they going to grow or are they going to bust? We need to start paying attention to these factors and these news, because it really has an impact on us and would probably determine whether we are a victim or we become a strategist. We also have in general, one of the big problems is that we are very passive to financial information, and that needs to change, because once you are able to use that information strategically, it can massively transform your life. It can massively transform your trajectory to your financial freedom. The next is a few myths we have in our community. Some of us believe that wealth is not for us. It's reserved for people who look a certain way, who sound a certain way, who come across a certain way. That couldn't be further from the truth. We also have myths where people believe that seeking wealth is anti-Christian. It's bad to be talking about money in church. But I would say that God wants us to succeed. God wants us to thrive, and he has put us in a world which has physical elements. We need to make use of the resources that God has given us to be able to thrive and be able to achieve the things that he wants for us to be able to do. There are other myths in terms of we stick to comfort zones and we limit our social mobility. So as an African, you move to England and you want to live in Peckham, because that's where you can find Nigerian food, African food, all of that. You want to be your Caribbean, you live in Brixton or around Brixton. Or if you're a Pakistani, you live around Bradford. There's just certain stereotype areas that you want to go. And it's only natural, because human beings want to be with people we share a lot in common with. We want to, that's just where we gravitate towards. But we broaden our horizons. We need to interact with other people. We need to interact with other communities. The Jewish community is known to be financially successful and financially stable. But what is the secret behind that? What do they do that enables them to thrive as a community? Nigerians are known to be academically excellent. What do they do to maintain that? There are so many different factors, but I think it's important to broaden your horizon, interact with other people, and not stay within your little community and think that is your world. All of these aspects can also lead to misinformation. If you stick with people who think like you all the time, you end up in what we call an echo chamber, and everyone agrees with what you say. But it's important, again, to move out, because if you don't move out of that, you might be propagating misinformation. So I'll give you an example. You might have an uncle who came maybe in the 70s and the 80s. Interest rates were really high at that time, and he took a mortgage, and it really scathed him and burnt him. He would advise you never, ever to take a mortgage. You might have somebody who came in and used a credit card, but got burnt with it and got really bad CCJs and just couldn't get rid of that. Now, it's possible that this person did not use the credit card properly. The person was not armed with the right information. But rightfully so, they would warn you never to get a credit card. But once you step outside and you inform yourself, you will be able to understand how to use credit cards, how to use mortgages to get yourself up the ladder and to succeed. So it's really important not to stick within just your community and just broaden your horizon and step outside and gain a bit more information. All of these, unfortunately, they compound into self-doubt. You just say, I can't do it, it's not for me, and you just stay in where you are. I think it's important to realize that financial freedom and financial success is achievable. You just have to work towards it. Many of these things come because many of us are first and second generation immigrants. The life of an immigrant is a difficult one. An immigrant, average immigrant, tends to work 2 to 3 jobs just to put money, just to put food on the table, to try to extend their stay in the UK, to pay for fees, and also to be able to send money back to the family back home. That is very difficult. Now, I don't blame anybody who has to deal with 3 jobs at the end of the day, not to care what the governor of Bank of England has to say about interest rates. We also have a demography of women. Women tend to be very, very amazing at multitasking. You have your own full-time job. You're taking care of the children. You've got the whole school calendar in your head. You've got the whole social calendar in your head. You've got food planned for the next week, the next month. You've got so many things in your head. You really haven't got time to think about, should I use a cash ISA or should I use a stocks and shares ISA? You haven't got time for that. So you let your partner take care of that. But unfortunately, what then happens is that you're not aware of the decisions. You're not aware of the choices. You're not aware of the reasons why these things happen. And unfortunately, in life, things happen. Your partner might die. You might get a divorce. You just don't, and then you are left with having to suddenly make decisions about managing finance, and you don't know where to start because you weren't involved in the first place. So the message really is not to be passive, not to leave things to chance. Make sure that you're involved with all these decisions and you plan and you are intentional about every step when it comes to money. The next slide, please. Yeah. So I think at the end of this, the main thing is to realize that a mindset change within us, within the church, and within the community is needed. The road to make to financial freedom and financial success is a long, hard one. It's not easy. But we, with discipline and commitment, we are able to achieve it. It's within reach. We have the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So let's have faith that God is along us, with us on this journey. Imagine a church which is filled with individuals with financial means. The church can do so much more. The church can reach so many more people. So effectively, it is incumbent on us to try to do the best we can individually so that we can then be able to arm and be able to do the job of the work of the Lord. We need a mindset change because it is, I don't want to say it's easy, but the truth is, gaining wealth is easier than we think because the information is out there. The information used to be kept and policed by a few, but with technology, the information is really accessible. It's on the news, it's on your phones, it's on your laptops, it's everywhere. You just need to make the concerted effort to do the right things and it will be achievable. I give an example. There are Harvard and MIT course material available on the internet for free. These are course materials that people paid $60,000 for. But because of technology, if you know where to look, you can find it. So I challenge you, the next time you go to the bathroom and you're scrolling on your phone and you think you're going to be out in 10 minutes and you come out and you spend an hour there, think, what could I have used this hour to do? What could I have learned other than watching funny videos? Spend your time wisely, otherwise someone else will spend it for you. The next one is controversial. It's called gatekeeping. Unfortunately, Africans, black people, we are very bad at gatekeeping. Once we figure out the way to make money in a particular way, we hold on to that information. We don't share it. We do not bring our brothers and our sisters along. Maybe for the right reason, you've been hurt before, you've been, you know, betrayed in the past, But it's not the right mindset to carry in order to get the community forward. We need to share information. It's like we enjoy being the only person in the village with a Mercedes-Benz. Or we want to be the only person with the biggest house. But it gets lonely at the top. You need to bring people with you. So let's change that mindset. Stop gatekeeping. Share the knowledge. And that's, you will see the benefits of that. The next one is also very important. We are in the midst of a major shift. In 1996, just before the internet was born, no one had ever heard of Google, Facebook, or Amazon. 30 years later, these companies are huge. They influence governments. They decide what happens in our future. Now, what's the decisions that these companies make will determine how the future goes. We are on the precipice of the birth of a new technology. Artificial intelligence is here to stay. Whenever there's a new technology, it's always followed by chaos. But out of that chaos rises new leadership, new structure, a new world order. The last one that happened, we as a community got left behind. We should not allow that to happen this time. It's not just in the technology in terms of introducing AI. It's also about the global financial system. We've all heard of cryptocurrencies and digital currencies. You just think, oh, it's a fad, something smart people talk about, nothing. No, it's really important because it's going to replace money as we know it. And the reason I say that is because AI means machines are going to be doing a lot more in our world. Computers are going to be doing a lot more in our world. But computers do not understand money as we have it today. What computers have is what cryptocurrencies and digital currencies do, which is they present a platform for which these machines can transact. So if you've got an automated car, an automated car goes to an automated filling station and it needs to buy fuel, it needs to transact. Cryptocurrencies provide that. And that's just a very basic level of how those things happen. So, and also there's a big issue about the US dollar, which is the global standard for trade. But the trust in the dollar is being constantly eroded. So the prediction is that in the next two decades, our global financial system is not going to look like what it looks like today. It's going to transform. So my challenge to you is, what are you doing about these things? These global events happen, whether we pay attention or not. But the question is, are you going to be a victim of the consequences of these changes? Or are you going to position yourself such that you are able to take advantage of the opportunities that these changes present? Let's do the latter. Next slide, please. So, I have a question for you. What is your vision of financial success? When you close your eyes and you think, when I've made it, when I've retired, when I am successful, what does it look like? What do you picture? Yes, please. And I'm going to pick on you first, Inkyum.
I think for me, it's not necessarily a sum. It's knowing that I'm not dependent on, I'm independent, so I don't need to rely on my job or my business. It's, you know, I have passive income. I don't need to, if I want to work, I work. If I don't want to, and I have the freedom to make decisions that I want to make. So I don't know if I can necessarily say a sum. You know, I think if all my living expenses are covered, then I am that very thing. So
that's what you see. Yeah. Thank you. Pastor?
For me, it will be how well I steward what God has entrusted to me. So it's not so much about how much I have, but with what he has given me, how well have I stewarded it to the maximum? Have I reached my potential?
Thank you. Maggie? One more, Mike. Yes. Yes.
I think for me, it's being able to, I always think of kingdom financing, like you're saying, if the church doesn't have much, we struggle. So I think it's before retirement and after retirement, I would want to be in a position still to be able to finance God's work.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So I think the fact is that every single one of us has an idea of what our financial success looks like. Is it the big car and the big house? There's nothing wrong with wanting that. Is it being able to go on holiday whenever you want? That's also good. Is it setting up the next generation? Is it time freedom, be able to do what you want when you want? Is it doing philanthropy? Everybody has an idea and a picture in their head of what their financial success looks like. The question, though, is how are you going to get there? It's nice to have a picture, but you need a plan. Next slide, please. The fact is, the old way of doing things is broken. We were told, go to school, get a job, work hard, and you will make it. Everyone here has followed that, done all those three things. Do you feel like you're making it? So the system is not working the way it's supposed to. We need a mindset change. You want to be wealthy, but it's keen to realize that no one wakes up wealthy by accident. It comes through specific decisions and daily discipline. We need to move from working hard to working smart. Many people have worked their whole lives doing the right thing and unfortunately do not have much to show for it at the end. So it's important that we start thinking about how to work smart. Working smart is not cheating a system. Working smart is identifying specific areas in which you can apply effort in order to maximize your gain. That is what working smart is. So we need to try to find ways in which we can deploy our effort. If I want to push a massive block down this road, I need to be down this aisle, I need to be able to identify a particular place in which I can put my effort. And that would help me to move it along. Now imagine after identifying that focus area, now I don't just apply a little bit of effort, I apply all of my effort, all of my energy, everything I have to that one focus area. Imagine how far I can go. So that's what we need to start thinking about. I've got on there as well, we need to understand the rules of the game. What do I mean by understanding the rules of the game? You can't win a game if you don't understand the rules. You will just be going round and round in circles. I'll give you a few examples. Lewis Hamilton rents a private jet from a company that he owns. Okay? So every time he flies on that jet, he pays himself. It's not illegal. It's not against the rules. It's just being smart. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, pays himself a salary of $80,000. This is a man who owns one of the biggest companies in the entire world. And his salary is less than $100,000. Elon Musk wanted to buy Twitter. He didn't sell any of his shares. He borrowed money to be able to buy Twitter. Again, in spite of him being one of the wealthiest people in the world. But these are, you know, examples out there. Maybe a bit closer to home. Person A buys a G-Wagon Mercedes-Benz car. He gets the love and adoration of his friends and family. Person B sees this and says, I want some of that love. I'm going to buy a Mercedes-Benz G-Class wagon. And he takes his hard-earned money, his family savings, and he goes to buy a Mercedes G-Class wagon. Now, anyone who doesn't know, a Mercedes G-Class wagon is a $150,000 car. Under U.S. tax law, you are able to offset the entire cost of that vehicle against your tax bill for 5 years. So that is a smart investment. But what person B doesn't know is that person A bought it in a limited company. He bought it as a company car. So he's driving around with it and getting all the love, but he's also getting the financial benefits because he did it in a smart way. Person B, though, did not know, and he just went and spent his entire savings trying to chase human love and affection. Exactly. So again, I just say, understand the rules of the game you're playing before you actually get caught. These rules do not apply to just millionaires. They apply to us on a daily basis. There's nothing that is worth having in this world that comes without sacrifice. So we have to be very comfortable with making very difficult decisions. You might see somebody in their old age making lots of wonderful journeys around the world, and you might think, oh, that person has it lucky. No, it's not luck. The person planned. You might see even somebody who hasn't worked a day in their life because they inherited a lot of wealth. Again, don't be jealous of that person, because behind that wealth that that person inherited was a person who made important decisions in their lifetime to enable that child to be able to live a very comfortable life. Don't be jealous. Let that be a motivation to you to plan your financial freedom and to liberate your family in the next generation. Next slide, please. So we have our vision. We set it. Set whatever your vision needs to be. Set achievable milestones in between that journey and how to achieve it. And roll up your sleeves and work hard to achieve those goals. Next slide, please. So, the very first stage of our journey is to ensure that we have a solid foundation. Every house needs a solid foundation. And say we all need a Peter in our lives. The first component of this strong foundation is budgeting. Next slide, please. Creating a budget gives you a very good idea of your current situation. It helps you to know what steps are needed to fix the problem. You need to be honest to make budgeting work. You can't put together a budget and then hide the fact that I send money to my family every now and then. Even if that money going home is not regular, it's still an expense. It has to be in there. Don't underestimate how much you spend when you go out on a girl's night with your friends. It's important. You need to be realistic for this to work. There are a number of apps and resources that we could use online, and I've put a list of those apps online if you can just check them out in your own time. But the aim of this exercise is to make sure that our income exceeds our expenses. That way, you're able to have disposable cash. One key way to make sure you have significant disposable cash is to reduce expenses. It's easy to say, but it's very difficult to do. But with the help of God, we can achieve everything. You need to understand the difference between a need and a want. I've had to ask myself, do I need the Sky Sports subscription or do I want it?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. You need to ask yourself, do you need that red bag or do you want it? Do you need the newer version of your car or do you want it? Okay. These are important decisions you have to be able to master to make to be able to increase your disposable cash. Next slide, please. So now we've been able to reduce expense, so we've got a decent size of disposable cash. The next thing we need to do is aggressively attack debt. There are two types of debt. There's good debt and there's bad debt. Good debt comes in the form of student school loans to educate yourself, a mortgage for a house, or a loan for a business. Bad debt, unfortunately, is in the form of credit cards, buy now, pay later, and car leases for just luxury cars. We need to allocate the money that we've been able to generate from our disposable cash to reducing bad debt aggressively. You have to do that as quickly as possible. And in order to do that, the best way to do that is to remove any form of emotion from it. You don't want to be deciding, oh, I've got an extra £100. Should I pay off that loan or should I do X, Y, Z? No. Just automate it, set up a direct debit, and forget about it. Did I also mention that another form of bad debt is owing families and friends? It destroys relationships. So it's a bad debt. And it's something that if it's currently within your budgeting, you need to allocate money to get rid of it as soon as possible. The next slide, please. The next stage in our solid foundation is to build an emergency fund. After defeating bad debt, we have successfully gotten rid of bad debt. The next component would be to focus on an appropriately sized emergency fund. An emergency fund is typically 3 to 6 times the size of your total monthly expenses. So from your budget, you know exactly what your monthly expense is. Your target for your emergency fund should be 3 to 6 times this amount. You need, again, to remove emotion from it. So at this time, we're assuming that you've gotten rid of your bad debts. You've got your disposable cash. Now you can then reallocate this disposable cash to building this emergency fund. There are some criteria for the accounts that you put this emergency fund. One of them is to make sure that it is readily accessible. Don't go tie it into some form of investment that needs a long time to liquidate. You must not leave it in cash. Cash makes it dormant, and you lose value with cash. And the third, if you put it in some form of investment, it has to be low risk. The next, so some of the recommended accounts would be a high interest savings account. You could use your cash ISAs. You could have a flexible fixed term investment, or you could also use premium bonds, also known as NSI. And then you could also have government low-income savings schemes where the government tops up some of these savings that you have. So these are all good places in which you could build your emergency fund. Next slide, please. Yep, so the next slide is, the next stage is to increase income. Now, I think we talked about increasing your disposable cash by reducing your expenses. But another way in which you can also increase your disposable cash is by increasing the money that comes in. So there are a number of ways in which you can increase your income. Now, if you've got a job, you might get a promotion, you might get a new job, you might get a pay rise. You have to resist the urge to go and buy a new car or a new house. It's called lifestyle creep. Okay? That's the first thing we do. So you find out that you are making progress in your career, but your expenses are catching up with you, and therefore you're not able to do what you need to do. But if you're disciplined and you are able to keep that, what happens is your disposable cash increases. There are other ways to increase your cash. I think that one of them is to plot a career path to your destination. So I give an example. If you're in retail and you are, I don't know, a cashier, for instance, you need to plot a path to store manager. Understand the intermediate steps that are needed to achieve that. Understand the qualifications that are needed to achieve that. And set a plan for how you are going to achieve that end goal. That is a sure and guaranteed way to increase your wealth. You could also turn a hobby into a side hustle. And eventually that side hustle can also become a business. These are all ways in which you can explore to increase your income. It's important that increasing your income is constant throughout the entire journey to financial freedom. You are not stopping it at any point. Whilst you're building your foundation, you are increasing your income. Whilst you move to the next phase, which is the growth phase, you're also actively and persistently increasing your income. Next slide, please. So we've gotten to the point now where we have created our budget, we've reduced our expenses, we have achieved our emergency fund, and we've been able to aggressively reduce our debt. So now we've got our solid foundation. The next stage we just to move to is our growth phase. One characteristic of the growth phase is there is risk. Risk of losing your money. There's risk of going back a few steps. Next slide, please. But Isaiah 45 verse 2 says, I will go before you and leave and level the mountain. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. So this tells me that God is going to fight our battles for us. One of our biggest fears is the fear of the unknown. And on any journey such as this one, you are really scared. And that's one of the reasons why people do not invest. But when you think about different verses in the Bible, God is always claiming victories for us. So let's put our trust in him when we invest, that we are not going to fail. We are not going to lose money. We are actually going to gain. So go forth and invest. So the first step, next slide, is gaining financial knowledge. I've put a list of items on there, different aspects of the market, different tools, different strategies. I would say it's a very interesting journey. Once you start, you just can't stop. You will just want to gain more and more knowledge. You want to know, what if I try this? What if I try that? What is a stock ISA? What is a cash ISA? Why do we pay in dollars? Why do we do? It's just a wonderful mind filled. So rather, and I think, yes, and that will help you to, you know, focus your energy on these aspects. So I think the key thing here is to gain financial knowledge, because that would help you to make the right decisions during this growth phase. Next slide. On the next slide, I've put together a few books and online resources that I would recommend. A book called The Millionaire Fast Lane. A book called The Richest Man in Babylon is actually a very, very good read. And it introduces all concepts. It's a very old book. I think it was written in the 1920s. But every principle in that book holds steady right now till today. You've got online podcasts and YouTubers and Instagrammers who are actually very good at sharing information. So again, let's use our time wisely by using the right resources. Next slide, please. A key component of the growth stage is to understand the difference between an asset and a liability. An asset is anything that increases in value over time and generates regular income. That's what I want you to think about as an asset. The opposite is a liability. A liability is anything that loses value over time and costs money to maintain. A very good example of a liability is a car. Costs a lot of money. And every single time you drive that car, it loses value. I know it looks good and feels good, but we need delayed gratification. Next slide. Okay. So this brings us to what I call a sustainable system. A lot of people currently feed our liabilities directly from our source of income. You've got a job, and that's your main source of income, and you're paying for your cars, you're paying for your television subscriptions, you're paying for all the luxury items from there. We need to change that. We need to look at what we call a sustainable system. And in this sustainable system I'm presenting, you feed your assets from your income. We're going to talk about what the asset classes are, but you feed them directly from your income and cut out liabilities. The returns from these assets get reinvested into your assets again to then accelerate the growth. Eventually, your assets grow big enough that they're able to feed and to maintain all of your liabilities. That is what I call a sustainable system. And the image hasn't come out the best, but there is a loop, right? And that is the self-sustaining component of it. It gets to the point where you might not even need step one anymore, which is what income kind of described. It's passive income. You don't need to work. You have the freedom to do other things, but the income is consistently generating. So I want everyone to think about a system. It doesn't have to be this exact system, but this is a guide to building your own system. Next slide, please. So we're going to talk about the various asset classes we can invest in. I've put in the passage from Matthew 25, verse 28 to 29. This is an extract from the parable of the talents, where a master leaves three servants with gold proportionate to their abilities. Two of them invested the talents and got returns, and one of them buried his talent and waited for his master's return. When the master returned, he praised the two who invested their talent and rewarded them. He rebuked the servant who buried his talent and took away his talent and gave it to the servants who had actually made a profit. Again, that to me tells me that God is not anti-wealth, right? So we need to make good use of the resources that God has given within us and around us. And part of those resources, going back to my previous slide, is information. We have information around us. We have knowledge. We have books. We have everything. We just need to make use of it to make the returns that God wants us to be able to make a return on. Not to be controversial, but you can't just pray your way to wealth. You can't. You have to make use of what is in the real world. So these income asset classes, stock market, property, pension, business, and digital assets. Today I'm going to talk about three of them. The first one, next slide, would be the stock market. The stock market, next slide, is a digital marketplace where the ownership of companies are traded. Again, previously, it was not accessible to many people. But again, with technology, it's now accessible to everyone. The phones in our pockets are powerful. You have platforms that offer you the ability to be able to take part in the stock market. I've listed a few of them. There's Trading 212 called T212. There's Plus 500. There's Vanguard. There's Hargreaves Lansdown. There's many of them. So you can do your own research, find the one that suits you, and make the right steps. On the stock market, you can trade individual stocks. So you could buy a piece of a company like Apple or Microsoft, and you own a component of it. And when that company makes profits, they give you returns in the form of dividends. Or you could buy what are called ETFs. These are exchange-traded funds or indices. These are effectively a basket of all of these stocks put together based on similarities, and you can buy a piece of that. The difference is that with the first one, your risk is based on the success or the failure of that one company, versus if you trade in an ETF, your risk is spread across a number of companies, and therefore you are less likely to have volatile movement. Next slide, please. So the graph on this slide shows you an indicative performance of the S&P 500. S&P 500 is an index of the top 500 companies in the United States of America. And you can buy a piece of that. Now, to give you an idea of the success, this is a chart showing the performance since 1980, so over a 40-year period. And the S&P 500 has consistently returned an average of 10.7%. When was the last time you went to a bank and the bank offered you 10.7% on your savings? So it's important to understand how you can use these tools to accelerate your path to financial freedom. And it's also important to mention, though, that past performance is no guarantee of future gains. However, it's not a bad indicator. Next slide, please. The next slide talks about compound interest. Compound interest is also a component or an idea that helps you to understand the stock market. Compound interest has been described as the eighth wonder of the world because of just its sheer power when you allow it to work over time. So again, this graph shows the performance of the S&P 500 and illustrates what you would be able to do if you had invested £1,000 in the S&P 500 in 2006. So you invested it, and then you did what we talk about, take away the emotion and set a direct debit of £200 every month in 2006. Now, today, after 20 years, that investment will be worth £174,000. If you had taken £1,000 and continually invested £200 in the and put it in a bank account, so a savings account, that money in 20 years would be worth $49,000. So I hope you can see the difference. Next slide, please. The next asset class is property. Property is a very, very great vehicle for accelerating wealth creation. It's also a good and powerful tool for wealth preservation. So at the moment, we're focusing on the wealth creation part of our journey. There's a saying that goes, don't wait to buy property and wait. We live in the United Kingdom and we all know what's happened to property over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Don't stand on the outside and watch. Be part of it and you will enjoy the journey. Next slide, please. This next chart illustrates the power of leverage and inflation. Leverage in the context of property is effectively a loan or a mortgage. Using a loan is a very good example of working smart. So again, person A and person B. Person A has, well, they both have £100,000, but person A buys one house, mortgage-free, and waits. Person B takes £100,000 and gets a mortgage on each house, and therefore he's able to buy four properties with that same amount of money. He effectively borrows £75,000 for each one of those houses, so therefore his outstanding debt to the bank is £300,000. In the UK, historically, house prices have typically doubled every 10 years. That's what the data shows over the last few decades. So let's conservatively just take that in 20 years, these properties appreciate to a value of £300,000 each. So after selling these properties after 20 years, the total return for person B is £1.2 million. The returns for person A is £300,000. Now, this example has been simplified because there are a lot of expenses that are involved in the process. Stamp duty, legal fees, so many of them, maintenance costs, all of that. But just to make the point, we've just made it simplified. So, okay, one second. Apologies, I need to give myself time. This is my son's tablet and his time has run out. Yes, I know, right? He needs to give me time this time. Yeah. So hopefully that works. But anyway, the most important thing is, go back to the other slide. Go back one more, yes. So as you can see, once you've paid off the outstanding mortgage of £300,000, he is left with £900,000. So as you can see, using the money to buy a house without a mortgage and using a mortgage to buy four houses, you can see the difference. And this example also does not include the returns you would be making from that property, assuming you've rented all four of those, the rental income on top of that for, and in this calculation is about 9,600 each year. Next, please. A key component as well is pensions. We've got the state pension in the UK, the workplace pension, and the self-invested pensions. State pensions come from your national insurance contributions. You need a minimum of 10 years of national insurance contributions and 35 years maximum. You can claim your state pension from between the ages of 66 and 68. Currently, the maximum payout is £11,975 per year. And you must note that any income above £12,570 is taxable. The workplace pension is you contribute to that through salary sacrifice. Your employer also contributes to that. Unfortunately, with workplace pensions, you have limited control over which funds the pension is invested in. You can claim your private pension or your workplace pension from the age of 55. There are multiple drawdown strategies that I will not go into at this point. And the key attribute of workplace pensions is you get to draw down 25% of your final pot at your retirement age tax-free. With regards to with drawdown strategies, unfortunately, what happens with a lot of us is we have the pension, we get a letter which says, here's an annuity, this is how much you're being offered, and we just accept it. We need to do a lot more investigating, unfortunately, because these companies, unfortunately, are also there to make a profit. So it's in their benefit to pay you less than you're entitled to. So always be smart about your pensions and seek advice before you accept when you do come to the age of claiming your pensions. There are self-invested pensions similar to the workplace pension, but that is more suitable for people who are self-employed or people who own businesses. Next slide, please. On this slide, I've given an illustration where you have to check your national insurance contribution for your state pension. You can do this on the .gov website. It's important that you check what your current forecast is, and it's important that you check if you have any national insurance gaps. At the moment, you are able to make voluntary contributions to fill gaps in your national insurance contribution back 6 years. Anybody who hasn't done that, I advise you to do that. For many young people, it's not an issue because you're working consistently. But if you're someone who has had to take time off work to care for somebody, you've had to travel outside the country to work outside, for whatever reason, if you have any gaps, it's important to try and fill them. And the importance is illustrated in an example I give where Nana is 64, and she's checked on the website, she identified she's got 4 years of national insurance gaps. It's calculated that her voluntary contributions will be £3,600. She makes a decision to make those voluntary contributions, and now her forecasted state pension payment goes up from £10,000 to almost £12,000 per year. Now, that £3,000 investment, if assuming she lives up to the age of 80, translates into £17,000 of additional payments on state pension. So it's really important, if you haven't done so, please do check. Next slide, please. This here is just illustrating the importance of starting early. The key point is it's important to start. Whatever age you are, you have to start contributing to your pensions. But I just want to highlight the importance of starting early. So if you have young adult children who are just starting their employment, I know I didn't start contributing when I started working, and I wish I had done so. That there shows that person A started contributing at the age of 30, and at retirement age, her pot was worth about £1 million. If the same person, using the same projected growth, had started contributing just 5 years earlier, that pot would be worth 500,000 more. So time is really important and shows you the power of compound interest. Next slide, please. So we've done a great job. We've selected our asset classes. We've invested. We've moved forward with faith, and God has rewarded us, and our pot has grown. We now get to the wealth preservation stage. Next slide, please. Now, We need to keep hold of our money. Pensions used to be a very great way of passing wealth down to the next generation. Now, again, until I started reading, I knew that pension was just to look after me when I retire. So I was intending to spend all of my money, right? But it turns out people don't spend the money in their pension pots. Because, in example, hey, until Labour came around, okay? So Labour government recently came and they changed the laws. So before the Labour government, example would be a single mother who has a house worth £400,000 and she's paid off her mortgage. So all mortgage free. At the time of her death, she wants to pass the property to her children, but she has a pension pot which is worth £300,000. She hasn't spent it. It's there. Now, she wants to pass that across. Now, because under the previous government, your pension pot did not contribute to your total estate value at death, her value of her property sat below the personal threshold, and therefore she's able to pass the house to her children tax-free and also able to pass the pension value to her children tax-free. Under new rules, that $300,000 is considered as part of her total estate value. So now her estate value is $700,000 and it's above the personal tax threshold. So she has to pay tax in her death before she passes the money down to her children. So again, it feeds back to the point. You need to understand the rules of the game. Structure your affairs in the right way, and you are able to preserve or at least keep more of the wealth you've worked so hard to gain, as opposed to losing it to wealth or to tax or whatever it is. Life insurance is also another good way of preserving your wealth. You might have a house, and at the point of your death, you still owe a mortgage on it. What life insurance does is that the payout can clear the mortgage on that outstanding house, and you are able to then pass that house to your children mortgage-free, which then sets your children up wonderfully for a wonderful trajectory to their future. Estate planning in its basic form is writing a will. Just make sure you have a will. So anybody who is here, who is above the age of 50, who doesn't have a will, I encourage you to have one. And I promise you, writing a will doesn't mean you're going to die tomorrow. Okay? Yes, that's the African mindset. But so just make sure you keep your house in order. The estate planning in a more complex form involves things like trusts. You set up a trust. Again, most people would have heard of trusts, but you don't really dig deep into it. What a trust does is that it helps to protect your assets in the future for when you're gone. The most benefits of a trust is to protect your wealth against wayward children. Unfortunately, whatever we do, we try to raise them up correctly, but they might squander the wealth in the first 5 years. What a trust does is it helps to preserve that against those children. A trust also protects you against future opportunistic spouses of your children. Yes. So, again, these are complex instruments, but they are available. They are there. They've been used for years, and unfortunately, not too many people in our community know about these things. Read about them, learn about them, find out the best way to structure them to put you in the right position to set up your children in the right way. And tax efficiency, we've talked pretty much around all of those. I think a stat I want to put in front of you is that the average person in the UK pays about 30% tax every year on their income. So to put that in context, you've worked January, February, and March free for the government. You haven't taken a single penny yet. That is a huge amount of money. But there are ways to structure your affairs such that you don't have to pay that much. And I'm not saying be illegal, because there is tax avoidance and there's tax evasion. Avoidance is legal. Evasion is illegal. Read about it, understand it, and know how to conduct your affairs in order to gain and to retain the most of your wealth. I'll leave you with the passage I've got on there from Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So on this journey, God has poured a lot into us. God has blessed us with success. It's now our time to make sure that throughout this journey, we are pouring into other people. We are blessing other people in that journey. That's the only thing that makes this journey worthwhile. Next slide, please. So my key takeaways from today are: wealth is not the preserve of a few. Wealth is accessible to every single one of us. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Do not lose sight of that on our journey. We need to seek the kingdom of God first and embark on this journey with him. And also, the second one is a stark warning. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why would you go on this journey just to not be able to enter the kingdom of God? So protect your heart and protect your soul. Do not lose it, and do not lose sight of why we are embarking on this journey. Wealth does not happen by accident. You have to be intentional. You have to plan. When you see somebody who is successful, it's not by accident. It's because they have planned, and you need to do that today. We can't afford to be passive. Don't let conversations around money just go by. If you don't know about it, find out what you can gain from that conversation. Don't just switch off. You need to use your time wisely. I keep referring to the bathroom because that's where I spend a lot of my time. And not profitably too, I must say. And you need to pay attention to events. Political events, economic events. What's happening in the Middle East right now, it seems far away, but it's having major impacts on your pockets today, right now. So do not ignore events. You need to create your own system for this journey. Find a way that works for you. Don't just take what you've seen on the screen and just think you're going to apply it to yourself. You have to tailor it to yourself, your ambitions, your goals, your family situation, your economic situation. Tailor it, but do not be passive. Be intentional. And finally, it's never too late to start. You can't do everything, but it's important that you start the journey because, like I said, someone here is benefiting from the hard work that somebody in a previous life, in a previous generation, put in. And you can do that for somebody in your family down your line. Thank you all. And I hope you have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Salon. Thank you so much. Any questions? I'm going to give him just a couple of minutes to take any questions to a brother. Yes, could we have the mic around? Is the question there? Nicole, can we have another mic this side? Yeah.
Thank you very much for that presentation. I just wanted to know, have you written some books? If you haven't, you should.
No, I have not.
You should.
He's working on it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Question? Any question that you might want to ask? By the way, that's Brother Salom's dad. And he's asking his son now.
Yes. My question is, looking even in this room right now, a lot of us are pensioners. And talking about this vehicle, stock market, and all those things. Is it, are we not late?
The simple answer to that is no. Absolutely not. You can still make the best of the stock market. To be honest with you, the last 10 years have probably been one of the best years in the stock market. And you're missing out if you're not part of it. So, yeah, the answer to that is no. It's never too late. And I think, sorry, one more thing I needed to add as well is that, yeah, this was a session to cover many topics, and it's quite broad. But if people are interested in specific topics, so if you want to know more about pensions and you have any questions about pensions, do let me know, and I will put together a similar slide, but very dedicated to a particular subject. So whether it's pensions, stock markets, or any other aspects of what you've seen today, please let me know, and I'll put together a presentation and deliver them when ready. I think there's another hand up there. They're attacking me.
They're going to make you pay for lunch.
I was just going to remind you that there are stock options within pensions as well. So there are funds within pensions. So you don't actually have to do it outside
of
your pension. You can do it within your pension too.
Yep, that is true.
All right. Please help me appreciate Brother Salome today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, let's pray together. There's been a lot that has been said. Let's ask God to give us wisdom. We thank you today, Father, because every good gift comes from you. We have because you have provided, God. You are the one who sustains, and you are the one who entrusts resources to us. For that, Lord, we are grateful. Thank you for placing the resources that you have placed at our disposal. Help us to be good stewards. Help us to be informed. Help us, Father, to walk informed by you. Holy Spirit, you are within us. You are our teacher. Teach us, Holy Spirit, all the things that we need to learn. We ask that you would give us hearts of wisdom. Where there's been confusion, please, Lord, bring clarity. Where there has been fear, bring faith. And where there has been poor stewardship, we pray in the name of Jesus, bring discipline and understanding. We ask, Spirit of God, teach us, Lord. Teach us to manage what you have given us with integrity, with humility, and with purpose, God. Let our homes be places of stability and peace. Let our families be strengthened for generations. And let the resources you entrust to your people, Father, become instruments of blessing for our community and for the advancement of your kingdom, God. Give us wisdom to plan, courage to act, and faith to trust. To trust you in every season that we find ourselves. We surrender our finances, we surrender our work, we surrender our future into your hands, Father. And we ask, O God, as it is in heaven, may it be so real for us in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.